What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Mile Hybrid Show, where we talk about all things and everything related to the world of hybrid fitness. My name is Ryan Kent. I'll be your host, and my co-host, Rich Ryan, is out this week, but we don't need him, because joining me today, we have a very special guest. She's basically an extension of the Mile Hybrid crew, a super mom, and a straight-up savage on the race course. She's the current High Rocks world record holder, the first lady to break 60, and she's also the reigning Deca Mile world champ. So is your boy. And just this weekend, she broke her own Deca Mile record. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the one and only Meg Jacoby. Meg.
Yeah.
We finally got you on the show.
I know.
After it's eight been episodes.
Yeah. It's okay. I've been very entertained by a lot of the conversations you guys have been having. So happy to hop in.
For sure. For sure. And like, I feared we'll just take this whole hour and just talk shit on Rich the whole time.
Yeah, like, boss up, dude. Where you at?
You did a thing this weekend. Let's just start with that.
So, as you know, like, because we talk so frequently, the three of us especially, like, did a crazy hard workout Thursday. Thursday decided, like, oh, like, this is one of the few weekends I have off, actually. Like, the competition season is like starting already, because it's like DecaFit Northeast. I'm doing Rally in the Valley this coming weekend. And then it's like Labor Day weekend. And then I'm doing DecaFit Orlando. And then like the Deca time stuff is like done. So I was like, holy shit. Like, I'm obviously already on the leaderboard, but I was like, I'm not really like thrilled with the time. I think that was like 2 weeks after High Rocks World Champs. I'd done Battle Bunker and High Rocks New York Go Ruck the week before. Like, just mentally was kind of like, this is like, I just didn't really care. You know what I mean? So like, I had a decent time, but I was like, oh, I should like hop in. Clearly we don't taper for these like gym events at all. Like, I was smoked.
You shouldn't.
Thursday and Friday, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be rough. Like, I was really, really sore. And then, so I was like, just kind of trying to be sub 20 minutes. And then ended up going sub the world record. So I beat it by 5 seconds. So
give me,
which is pretty sick.
What was the course like? Cause I saw
so
some
it was
stuff.
A parking lot, okay. Number one. So it's outside. Actually got a really good day, cause it was like, thankfully 65 degrees. It wasn't like hot yet. It really was. So that wasn't too bad, but it was like the runs were just out and back, and they had all the stations lined up in a long line. And then you would just like turn around, run behind you, run back. So you're kind of doing like a little like diagonal to the next one. And you had to go around like a little cone at the other side. But like, it's funny because it really makes you like realize how unathletic in lateral movements you are. I'm like coming up to this, like trying to like basketball it, like touch the line and go kind of thing. And I was like, okay, the knees cannot handle that. We need to make this like a full little circle because it's like just different than what we obviously kind of are used to doing right now. But yeah, I had a really awesome guy timing me, who's into the hybrid scene a little bit. He's in like, I think he's actually in your guys's age group. I think he said 35 to 39. He threw down a 20:40 in the mile himself. And I know he does some of the OCR stuff. So he was like so awesome because he was, you know, just really like pushing me, which was really nice. So that helps.
I think the Deca Mile is the hardest one of the three, in my personal opinion. What do you think?
I think so too. Cause I think like the run is so short that you're really not recovering on it. And I think for like, if someone like me, where speed is on my side, like I'm really trying to push the run. So it just feels like you're like, by the time I get to the assault bike, I feel like I am sucking wind right now. Like it gets pretty brutal for me around that point. Thankfully the sled is like, we're so used to pushing sleds and the weight on that. Like it's not really that I don't feel like it's that strenuous. So I actually feel like I recover like lungs wise pretty sure. well on that. So, cause then you need that cause you're doing those burpees at the end. So, you know,
yeah, there's just like, yeah, there's not enough. The deck of strong is so short that you can just kind of suck it up and deal with it. And then the deck of fit, you do get those 500 meter runs to really recover.
Yeah.
Before the stations, but that 160 just goes by so fast.
So quick.
Like every time.
So quick. Yeah. And like I always joke around about like being Gumby, like after the assault bike into that sprint, it's just like, you're like, this looks terrible. You know, it's pretty funny.
Well, to run 1905?
1914. But yeah, like at a gym affiliate.
Right. In the middle,
close to, I have not done a single DECA workout really. Like I was on vacation for 2 weeks. Like I'm doing hybrid. I'm obviously working those, you know, modalities in some of the workouts I've done, but I have not done any specific movements at all really for this. So I was like I hadn't done a box step over or a, I don't have a dead ball. Like just a lot of like the little things that are technical. Really haven't been working at all. So that makes me excited because I just feel like once we get a little more specific and I will like leading into the fit, you know, the next like 2-3 weeks, but, it makes me like, okay, can we go sub 19 at Worlds? I think we can.
What I was going to ask you, like, what do you think, what do you think's possible in that?
I definitely think, and especially if I have people pushing me, you know, in the race, I definitely think you're going to see a sub 19 from the women this year. And I mean, maybe it won't be me, but I think it'll be somebody. I feel like I will help make it happen. If it's not me, you know, I'll at least be pushing whoever to do it, I think. But yeah, it's pretty neat, like seeing some of these times this year. Just, I got into the DECA scene so late last year that I had only gotten to do the mile. So I hadn't even done, I did 2 miles. And then I did like, I've only done 2 strongs. So I'm still pretty fresh.
What's your strong time right now for this season?
12:58. So my first strong, it was right after High Rocks in Maastricht. I just hopped into one because there was like one local and I was kind of having like a down week of training. And I went sub 13, which I was pretty happy with because from the way it seems times wise, like that's pretty solid. So I was like, all right. And I feel like that is by far my least strong of these 3 races. Just like, I need the running is like, I need it. So.
Yeah. I'm going to try again this year to try to get that triple crown to win all 3. And
you're for sure going to do, cause I've been chatting with some people about, if the High Rocks payout's higher, do we all go to Sweden instead? And
it's a great
question. It's a great question. I think we'll see some people do that. Especially I think Chicago will be pretty telling for what ends up happening with DECA Worlds, honestly, because I think some people that if they don't get the top 3 in Chicago, they might go over to Sweden, especially if like the payout's potentially higher. You're risking like your odds of making winning all 3 to make whatever you could basically make coming in 3rd potentially in 1 race or close to it, you know? So it's like, do you want to spread yourself thinner? I don't know. Right. It's one of those things. And last year when I went to Sweden, it was $300 to $400 cheaper to fly to Sweden than it was to fly to Texas.
That's crazy.
Right. So like there's a lot.
Right.
High Rocks helps throw for the rooms. Like there's a, there could be a like high potential.
They're quicker in paying out their athletes.
I mean, I didn't want to bring that up, but like, I do want to bring that up, you know, hot take, do a little better guys, you know,
speaking of winning all 3, I don't think people understand kind of how difficult that is, you know, Me personally, I have 3 separate body types for myself that I feel like I need to be at for each one. I feel like for DECA Strong, I like to sit closer to 190 for my weight.
Yeah, because you need the weight for the machine work. The machine work becomes so much more important.
Just gives you more power.
Yeah.
And then the mile, I like to be kind of, you know, maybe low to 180s. And then for DECA Fit, if I'm trying to win that thing, I think I need to be under 180. So that alone just presents a challenge in itself. And then obviously, like, you know, adding the running piece into some of them versus like DECA Strong that has no running in it. I mean, I feel very lucky to have won two of the three last year. And if it wasn't for fucking Rich, I would have won all three. But I the point is
that guy,
it's freaking hard. Like, it's super hard. I think you for sure have a shot at doing it. But
I think for me in the strong, the only way I really have a potential of winning is if other people make big mistakes. That's just the way I feel about it in just regards to myself. Like, I think I need in that race other people to go out way too hot and fall off. And then because I have like the strong longevity in these types of races, like pick people off. It's kind of like what Tara did last year. It seemed like she kind of did that in a lot of the races where she like really stuck to her plan and then like beat out people at the end. I think in that especially, I would need to be really smart. But I think in the mile and the fit, I could take a little more risk and like lead from the get-go and be okay, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And you know, my girl Lauren's going to be pushing that. So if she's there and does it, like, that's her move too. So I feel like it's going to be a really long, fun years of battling Lauren Weeks and myself, like head to head. I think just because I think we really have very similar strengths. I think we're just very similar athletes. So
totally. One thing I wanted to pick your brain about when it comes to training is what are you on a 7-day training cycle, 9-day training cycle, 2-week training cycle? Because in
forever
hybrid, we know
cycle. Right,
there's, you know, when you're just training running, it's super easy to fit everything in 1 week. Cause all you need to do is like a speed work session and then like a tempo run.
Yep.
But with like hybrid racing, what do we have? We've got strength workouts, cross training, speed work, threshold, machine intervals, long run, compromise running, Metcons.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole bunch of stuff.
It's so tough because it's been like, for me, it changes so much just depending on like what event I have next. Like I'm doing the rally in the valley. I know you're doing Grit Games. There's some like Metcon work in those. Like I have to do DT, which is like a very popular CrossFit workout. And it's like 12 deadlifts, 9 hang cleans, and then 6 basically shoulder to overheads. And then they threw in a 500 meter row after that. So like, that's really, really CrossFit style. And so I've been doing a lot of more Metcon work in the last like month, just to kind of be able to hold my own. Cause I'm going up against girls that like Corinna Coughlin was legit at the games. So
for sure
I'm going against her and I'm just praying to God that my muscular endurance is enough. You know, I'm proficient enough to maybe like keep up a little or whatever. But, and like Lauren too, like I think it's Lauren, Katie Knight and Corinna Coughlin that I'm going to be doing that workout against. And they are all CrossFitters. So I'm like, okay. So I've been doing more of that stuff right now, but then like it just changes totally depending on like what the season is, what stage of the season I'm in is.
Yeah,
and it really is hard to get it all in. Like I was just saying to Rich the other day, I was like, dude, I was at the lake with my family, so I didn't have a rower. I was running a lot, but I didn't have a rower, skier, or assault bike. So I really hadn't touched machines in like 2 weeks. So I was like, whoa, okay. Like that's a different. So like hopping on the ski erg after like 2 weeks of not touching it, I was like, all right.
You could feel the difference.
I feel like I have to do the ski erg a lot to feel good on it. Like I can, thankfully it's only 500 meters, but like I definitely was feeling like the arm pump from it. And I think it was just cause I hadn't done it in a couple weeks really.
I'm experimenting right now in the machines with lowering the damper setting like a lot.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see how that feels. And I've found that like, you need to have a faster stroke rate. but mm-hmm. it doesn't kind of blow your, like on the rower, it doesn't blow your legs up as much. And on the ski erg, it doesn't blow your arms up as much.
Right. So what have you been putting it at?
So I've had it at like a 4.5 on the ski and then a 5.5 on the rower.
See, I've dabbled with that too. And on the ski erg, I was like, I do not like, I'm at a 6 and that's like where I feel like very comfortable because like the too high is too much. But then I did try it at a 4 or 5 once and I was like, this is too many. Like right. the down and up, I was like, this is not good. My lungs are not enjoying this. So interesting. But you have more power. So like even your stroke rate's going to be totally different than someone like me, you know?
Yeah.
You just have more weight.
Yeah. Yeah. And like talking about the training cycle, I feel like when I first started hybrid, I was trying to fit everything in to like 1 week and it was wearing me down.
It's a lot. Like,
so yeah. I've actually extended. I'm on like an 11 or 12 day cycle right now.
I'm probably at something more like that. I feel like I really don't take like a full day off. I view it in like the way I run, like in running training. So I'll take a day off of running, but like I might still go to the gym and like lift, like do like a very straight up just lift workout, like 5x5 bench, you know, like that kind of thing. And it's like, it's not high intensity. So it's like, but I'm still getting like a good workout in, but it's not killing me. I'm fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I've been doing it. And it seems to be working. And I've been loving the summer because I love barbell. I love lifting. I love to bro out. So it's been awesome getting like back to a 4 day lifting, like the last like month and a half, like hitting the gym 4 days, you know, 2 upper, 2 lower days with some Metcon work in there. Mm-hmm. Like I'll finish with a Metcon after a lift.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too, because like you're already like
you're warmed up.
Exactly. So it's like it's really not making it like overall you're weak. It's not like crushing you, you know, whereas if I like lifted, then did a crazy Metcon the next day, then lifted, then like that would probably smoke me too much.
Yeah, for sure.
But so that's been fun.
I had my first bad workout this week that I've had in like a long time where I bombed it. And that doesn't happen to me often. Like normally, no matter the circumstances, I can always kind of grind through something. And if I fall off pace just a little bit, like that's fine. But this was like pretty monumental.
Yeah.
We can get into workout of the week here at some point. But earlier this week it was like a 3 mile tempo run, but it wasn't quite, it was harder than a tempo, but it wasn't a time trial either. It was kind of in that middle area where like you're pushing it super hard, but like you could probably give a little more if you had to. I just wanted to see where I was like with my 5K time. And I got like 2 kilometers in. So like 5 laps.
Yeah.
And I started falling off the pace like big time.
That's like the worst.
I was like 4 to 5 seconds per lap slower than like what I wanted to be at.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, something's clearly not right here. I didn't know what it was. I'm like, did I get enough sleep last night? Do I not have enough calories in my body? Like what's going on? And I thought about dropping, but dropping out is like something I never do. Like
can't do it.
I know. And you don't, the moment you do it like one time, you kind of give yourself permission to do it again.
I totally agree.
It's even when like shit's going sideways and you know that like this is just terrible, I still finish out a workout like all the time. It may be slower.
I feel personally like that is the mental strength you are building for when you are in a race and that shit is not going right. And it's like, you can keep pushing through it if you have kept pushing through that same feeling during workouts. It becomes much easier in that race to keep fighting. even when you know, like, this is not my day, you know? And I feel like that really has helped me in hybrid a lot. Like,
totally.
Just buckling down and being like, nope, I started it, I'm finishing it, you know?
And, you know, when I got done, I was doing my little cool down jog on the track afterwards. And I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I know
so
I haven't.
What were you hitting? Like, what would you finish it? Well, I wanted, you don't have to share.
I was trying to run 81 second laps.
So okay.
About like 525 pace.
Yeah.
At 6,000 feet altitude.
Right.
So that's like, for me, that's pretty fast. And yeah, I went out in like 80, then I had like an 81, then an 82, then another 82. And then I was like 83, then 85.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, like what the hell's going on? Mentally, was I in it? Like, I don't know, but I'm on the cool down jog and I'm like trying to figure out why that happened.
Yeah.
And what I ended up doing was I went home and the first thing I did was, you know, I walk in, I see my wife and I'm like, babe, I just bombed this workout. And she's like, was it really that bad? And I'm like, yeah, it was kind of that bad. But what I do in that moment, I go straight to my training log. Cause I keep mine all on like pen and paper.
I know you're very old school with it.
Old school. And I started looking through my training and looking for, okay, like when's the last time I like bombed a workout? Were there any trends in training leading up to this to show that maybe something like this was looming? Was there more fatigue in my body? Did I do legs 2 days prior?
Right.
Like what was it?
And yeah.
I've chalked it up as it was honestly just a bad day. But
yeah.
what I ended up doing was I had another workout on, this was Wednesday. And then I had another hard workout planned for Saturday, which will be my workout of the week. But for Thursday and Friday, the 2 days in between were supposed to be like easy days.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed them from easy to full on just like recovery days.
Yeah.
Like I went so slow for both of those sessions. Like I went out for my run and I was running like 9-something minute per mile pace.
It's been amazing how when I was pure running, my easy day pace compared to now is, it's unreal how different it is. I am at like 8 minute plus, like every time almost. If I'm sub 8, it's like because I'm on a crazy time crunch and I have like 1 hour and this is it, like that's it. So I like have to, so I can get 8 miles or whatever. But it is amazing how slow you need to take those easy days when you are a hybrid athlete.
For sure. And I feel like I rebounded enough. And like Saturday, I ended up having a good workout where I was like,
that's
okay,
good.
Like I was able to put that bad, that
you like,
bad day
leave it alone.
Me.
Yeah.
But you know, something else I did was I've been training like all my track workouts in the same racing flats that I've had for a year, 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I need to switch up my shoes. So I went on to Running Warehouse and bought a new pair of racing flats. And I like overnight shipped them so that they would be here before my Saturday
so
session.
Your next workout. That's
I'm
awesome.
Like, I need to change my shoes. Like that's the problem. That's how I'm going to fix it.
But did anyone ask if you were fast in your new shoes? Because if they didn't, like, does it even matter? No, I'm just kidding. I felt that way. I'd been running like in my trainers for Hyrox, and then I switched to the Endorphin Pros and I wore them in Sweden. And I remember like specifically texting Rich and just being like, dude, these are the fastest shoes. I felt so fast in these shoes. And it was like really cool. So
I felt. That's
sometimes
how I felt.
It's like just like a little thing up here that makes a difference. But kind of on this topic,
yeah.
I actually have always, really for the last few years, I always forget who said it, but this woman ran in the Olympics at one point in like the 400 meter hurdles or something like that. The rule of thirds, and this is something that I've really, really taken to heart, especially this year, like really getting into hybrid and just oftentimes going into workouts, not recovered at all, or like the the dynamic between trying to fit in the right amount of strength work, but also with all the running is very, very difficult, I think. So there are days where like a workout, I'm like so way sore from than I thought I would be. And then the next day, like I have a running workout, and especially when you work and you have kids, like if that's the day that I have to do it, like 99.9% of the time, that is when I'm doing it. So it's like, we just have to suck it up and like fight through it. But the rule of thirds for anybody listening, it's basically like a third of the time workouts aren't going to go great. A third of the time, they're going to go absolutely perfect, amazing. You're going to feel amazing. And then a third of the time is going to be kind of somewhere in the middle where they're just like, okay, like you just get it done. It's good enough or whatever. And the idea behind it is if you're spending too much time in one of those three areas, like you're doing something wrong. So I kind of like really have applied that to hybrid and how I feel, because I am a workhorse. Like, I know you know this, Rich knows this. Like I'm constantly doing extra stuff just because I love it and I love to do it. But I've been keeping that idea in my head always, because doing extra isn't going to help you. If you're now finding yourself more in that, like everything feels like shit phase, then I need to pull back on what I'm doing. Or if everything's going amazing and you're hitting everything, you're blowing it out of the park, then you're probably not doing enough and you could, you know, up it in some way. But so that's just like an idea that I talk to my athletes about that too. And, I think it just makes kind of a lot of sense, especially with what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Your overall body of work is, I think, more important than like having a bad day or something, right. You know, it's like,
and I think it's important to go through those bad days too. Like I really do, because like I went into world, we've had this conversation, and at High Rocks World Championships, like I physically did not feel good that from start to finish of that race. But mentally, I know how tough I am because I've fought through workouts like that multiple times. So I'm like, well, clearly I'm not going to give up, you know, but it is important, and it's important to battle through that, the mental talk of that. Like you're when you're doing that workout, you're having that internal monologue conversation with yourself. Should I pull out? Should I keep going? Should I do another lap? Should I stop? And it's important to be able to make that more clear decision, especially if you're in a race, because like you don't have time to waste, you know, trying to decide like what you're going to do. You just got to like buckle down and do it, you know?
Every time I came across the start finish line, I was like, okay, the next lap I'm dropping out. And then I'd cross the start line,
the
and
power
then
power of one more. And I then, just posted about that.
Yep. And what I ended up doing was, okay, how can I make the most out of this workout here? To make sure I'm still like challenging myself and getting the most out of it. And what I ended up doing was I would throw in like two surges, like two, like 50 meter surges on each lap just to keep myself honest.
Yep.
Because once you start slowing down,
mentally,
you're just not in it. And that
and
was
it's
kind
just
of my
easy
way
to keep
falling
down.
Further and further off the pace. So I would throw in these like 10 second surges, like twice a lap just to keep myself somewhat in like a good place. And you know, by the time I got to the last lap, I was able to close, I ended up closing in like 77 or 78. So I still had something in me, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, very rarely in a race do you ever feel good from start to finish. Even if you win the race, like normally, sometimes you do get that race of a lifetime where everything's clicking and you feel amazing, no pain, no nothing. But more times than not, like you, even when you're winning a race, you're going to go through those moments of like, dude, I'm like, I'm dying here, but I have to find a way to hold on.
Right.
And then those emotions only intensify if you're not winning the race, you know? So
for sure,
I do think it's important to, unless there's barring any injury or something that you have, I think it is important to push through those sessions. And I tell you what, when I went back from my Saturday workout, I switched. I had brand new racing flats. I went to a completely different track. I changed up.
You
my
really
steering.
Were like,
I was like,
we're
yeah,
doing
we're
this again.
We're moving past this.
Yeah. I love
and,
that.
So that's another thing is change up your scenery from time to time too.
Totally.
You know, cause you're most of the time, everyone trains kind of in the same place all the time. And sometimes if you just switch up what you're looking at, that can be enough of a boost to like get you through.
I know we both have like the home gym set up and there are days where I literally need to go to a gym. Like I just need to just go to a gym and be around other people. I don't care what they're even doing. Like I just need to have people around me or like, you know, just some days you just mentally do not want to do, you just don't want to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so those are the days where I'm like, all right, I'm going to the gym then because it needs to get done. And you know, we're going to get it done, but it's going to be better. And I'll probably do it in a much shorter time period if I go to the gym rather than if I like do it in my basement where I have my phone and all these other things to distract me.
Yep.
Like, oh, I'll throw a load of laundry in between this set. I'll fold, like, you know, and then you're not really getting a lot of benefit out of what you're doing. So yeah, totally. It makes such a big difference sometimes just changing it up.
Yeah. And like, along with that, like the mental piece, I sort of feel like the older you get, the more calloused you get with those kind of things. And it kind of brings me to my next point, which I want to talk about is kind of like why in the hybrid space, the people that are dominating the podium, most of them are well into their 30s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I started this last year and at 31 started, like I wasn't doing this 5-6 years ago, you know, and like here I am. So
what do you think it is for you?
For me, I think going through a lot of just like life stuff makes you, we've had this conversation with the kids aspect, like I am so much better about my time management especially in regards to my training. You know, cause things are more structured and more scheduled. So like just as an adult, like having a full-time job and then like, okay, I have to get this done in the morning and then I have to care more about my sleep. I have to care more about just maturing in all of the aspects of life, like that you have going on. Like when you're in your early 20s and you have really nothing to be responsible for, it's very easy to not do the right things. You know, and then it's just like, I've never been stronger either, like physically stronger than I am arguably right now. So that just with the running piece for me has been like the mesh of that has been obviously working really well for me coming into this. And I think if I was just like, if I'd started this in my 20s when I was just pure running, like I was much thinner than I am now. Like I was probably like, I'm usually around at 140 right now. It's probably like 130. There were times I was in the 120s at 5'7" and I could run, but like I would have struggled on a lot of the stuff that we do, like stations, sleds.
Right.
I mean, even the machine work, like cardio wise, I would have been fine, but maybe not power output wise. So I think it's just like the body maturity a little bit. With the, you know, the muscular strength, I think that we kind of tend to see developing a little more in our realm a little bit later. Cause like, think about when you guys were in college running, you know, you had a probably totally different body type than you do now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that contributes a lot too, you know, but the structure of life, I think also makes it, I do better when I have a shit ton
going on.
Exactly. And it makes no sense in a lot of ways because you're like, how do you fit it all in? And I'm like, I honestly do not, I can't tell you. I have no idea. But it's probably because I go there, I've got 1 hour, I buckle down, I get it done, I'm in and out and we're done. Like, and it's done, you know, whereas before I could like fart around more,
right,
you know?
Right.
I think that plays a huge role into it.
Totally.
And it means more. Do you find like it means so much more? Because now it's like time away from your family. I better perform because my daughter's at home. Like it's not, you take it a little more seriously because you are sacrificing more to do it, you know?
I don't feel like I became a professional athlete until like I had a full-time job and Basin was born.
Yeah.
Because before, when I first got into Spartan Race, I was 28 years old. So still pretty late.
Yeah.
You know? But at the time I was single. I didn't have kids. I was living in a buddy's, I was renting a room out from a buddy for like $500 a month. I didn't have like a cell phone bill. I had no car payments, no mortgage, you know.
At 28?
At 28. At 28. So
you did it right.
I'm just like, you know, I got on the Spartan Pro team and, you know, quit my job. And like, I was sleeping until like 11 in the morning every day. And then I'd be like, like, I wonder what time I'll go train today. And like, there was no structure to my day at all. And it wasn't until, that I got a full-time job and became a dad where it was like, okay, like I've got to do it during this time. And if it doesn't get done during that time, then it doesn't get done at all. Mm-hmm. That was when I sort of feel like I truly became like a professional athlete. As crazy as it sounds, was when like I had more on my plate.
Yeah.
And like had to find time to like get it in. And like you said too, like you also want to be a good example for your kid too, that like, hey,
There's a lot more. It means a lot more on many levels, like not just that you're traveling and now you're away from your family for 3 days. So you better make it worth it, but also just like showing your kids what they can do and just like what it means to work hard and like grind and dedicate yourself to something and be disciplined. And like there's so many lessons, and also how to win and lose. Like that is something that you know, my daughter's 8, so she's obviously older. So it's so important to me because she's at that age where these things are starting to make sense. And we're having these conversations, and I talk about winning and losing with her all the time because, you know, I maybe was on the cusp of like the getting a trophy thing. And like, it's heavy right now. And that's
super
how
heavy.
It's in. And I want her to like get that this is not reality. Like
losing
I just,
is a part of life.
Exactly. And honestly, like we had really good conversations at the end of High Rocks because I was coming in on high. Like I had the race of my life in Anaheim. Everything clicked. The time was, you know, and that's something I'm so honored to have been able to do. And like I get to just always have that. First woman to break an hour thing is very, very cool. So she saw that. And then she saw 4 weeks later, like me lose, you know, or, you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And that's like really, I think it's really, really important. So
there's
like,
value.
Value. And then, you know, and just having the conversations about like, yes, I lost to Lauren, but like, that's my girl. Like I'm happy for her. I'm proud of her. I'm proud to get to run with her. Like it doesn't have to be a hate thing, you know, like just, there's so much being a good competitor, being a good sport, just all that kind of stuff is very, very important.
I have found that losing just only puts more fire, like in my
100%.
You know, it's almost 100%. Like sometimes I almost feel like I want to lose sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Cause I'm not always a super motivated person, or I don't always have inspiration to like do something special. I just have like my discipline and like hard work and things like that, you know? So, crap, I done lost my train of thought. What were
you saying? It totally lights a fire. Like I remember, when Michaela Norman had broken, I had gotten the High Rocks record for the listeners. And then a few weeks later, Michaela Norman broke it. And I think it was like right after Deca Worlds, like maybe a week or two later. And I'll never forget this. Like I see all the posts on Instagram because Europe doesn't do live feeds. So like you can't watch it. So, you know, you just see the posts and you're like, fuck, you know? And then not even kidding. I went down in my basement and I got on my rower and I hammered myself in a row workout because I was like, shit, you know, like so bummed out. Yeah. Like, obviously it was like amazing for her and like we're friendly too. But so I mean this in like the most friendly competitive way, but I was like, fuck, you know, like I'm better get to work, you know?
Totally.
So
and from a physical standpoint, you know, I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 37. I think the biggest reason that I've been able to still do this is that I haven't taken any large amounts of time away from training. Yeah. I did when Basin was born, I took like 3 to 4 months off. And that's like the largest break from training that I've had since I was like in college or something, yeah. You know? So like, it's just consistency, like day in and day out work. And that's really been, I think, my secret sauce and still being able to compete, you know? Like I do think if I were to just be like, all right, I'm going to take like a year off, then maybe my age will start to show as I try to come back from something like that. But as long as you keep the grooves greased, you know, like I think that's the secret, you know, like some of my best friends that I ran track with in college, they just stopped exercising post collegiate, and now they're just fat and out of shape. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, what happened to you? And they're like, dude, I don't know how you're still doing what you're doing. And it's like,
Well, when you don't stop, your body's just used to it.
Exactly.
Like you, when you take that break, and I mean, people even like say to me, even they're like, you know, you need to take like some like chill time. And there are of course days where like the work is much less, it's much lighter. And I really try to listen to my body, especially now, because things hurt that didn't hurt 3-4 mm-hmm. years ago. And I know we have to be just more careful and like conscious of that stuff. Especially we just can't get away with it like we could in our 20s. Right. Like we could get away with so much more. And I think just with the mixed modalities that we are constantly doing in this sport also makes that so much more important than if you were just like running, you know, or just doing one specific type of thing. But like, yeah, it's the fact that it's just been consistency over a very long time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's and go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say like, one thing I didn't do a lot early in my career was like the little detail things.
Yeah.
Like making sure I'm eating a good diet and I'm taking ice baths and I'm getting massages and I'm foam rolling, I'm stretching. I'm like, I'm doing all of these minor detail things that do add up.
Mm-hmm.
Like those things I didn't do early in my career because I didn't feel like I needed to.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's like, okay, I do all of those things multiple times per week, you know?
And totally. I should be. I'm not, but I need to.
Well, you're not there yet. You're not.
I have a couple years. No, but a couple years. I can feel it. Like even yesterday, like I'm doing this deca mile in a parking lot in like upstate New York. So like you're doing those reverse lunges and you are just hitting your kneecaps basically into concrete. My knees today, they were like, what did you do yesterday? Like I can just feel I've got some bruises, mm-hmm. you know, like just that kind of stuff. And then before we recorded, I was saying I hopped into that 5K today. Probably 5 years ago, I could have hopped in that 5K and ran like a really good time. And like today I like barely snuck in an 18:30 and I felt like trash like the whole way. It was for a good cause. Like that's where too the ego comes in, right? And for me, hybrid has been such a good like test of ego for me because like the pure running times are not what they used to be. And you have to remove that idea out of your head a lot of the time in these types of workouts and the style. I had to remind myself today, you are not training for a 5K.
100%.
When you were, that's when you were rolling 17 low. That's when I broke 17 minutes. I am not doing that type of training right now. So I'm like driving over and it's like, stop. This is just a little workout. You broke a world record yesterday for crying out loud. Like, don't get in your own head about it. And that maturity too is part of like, I think being in our 30s, being a little older, being a little wiser, understanding much more easily, like, this is not even what I'm training for. So I can't expect perfection, you know, in this thing, this one thing.
In this
thing.
Realm, in this right. realm of like fitness that I'm not even like testing.
Like testing at all. Exactly. Yeah. And it's different. Like, you know, I was saying it's interesting that like I can do a Hyrox like at the same pace running, but then to roll it all together, like I haven't, I'm not really doing that. You know, I'm doing intervals with like work in between them where you're changing anaerobic to aerobic to high heart rate to lower heart rate and all that type of stuff. And it really does give you that kind of break. So I'm, you know, we've gotten so strong in that, but then it's a totally different thing. Just
totally
doing it all together.
Set.
Exactly. So conscious moments.
I was like, thinking that too, when I was after my little tempo yeah. run earlier this week, I was like, why did I feel like I needed to know what I could do like a 3 mile or a 5K in? Because that's yeah. not even, I have it in my head that I need to hit these markers before right. every season to like get to where I want to get to, you know, like I need to run a 5K in like under 1630 at altitude. You
yeah.
know, got to do
which
this,
is crazy.
That.
That's but really good.
It's like, that's not even super important. I'm coming to realize right. because in Hyrox, you're running only 1,000 meters at a time. And then yep. in DecaFit, you're only running 500 meters at a time. Where my skill set shines is what you do in between the lines.
Yeah.
You know, so like my skill set has moved away from being a runner. And now my skill set is in like compromised running and compromised right. stations. Like that's what I'm good at. So,
which is an entirely different thing. Like I think I came in third and I'm like the two women that beat me who I really weren't even far behind. That was a win for me because I know they're purely running. They are just runners. And like I got beat by like 16 seconds. Not half bad. If they came and did a compromised workout, I would destroy them. You know, like they just couldn't handle it. So it's hard to do because we're all competitors and, you know, we're all like always want to be the best at everything, but
totally.
It's those little reminders. But then like that's the other crazy part is you go back and forth. Like Thursday, I texted you guys because I was hype. Like I smoked a compromised workout. I was running in the 5:30s for 5x1K with barbell work, burpee, mm-hmm. sled push. And I was like, oh man, like that felt so good. And then I'm barely hanging on 6 flat pace in a 5K like 4 days later, you know?
Right.
But it's just, it's a different thing.
Well, speaking of workouts.
Yeah.
Let's get into our workout of the week. And I've got Grit Games coming up next weekend. And I've been playing around with some of the workouts that are going to be there. And one of them is called the Burpee 400, which I don't know if you've heard of this one.
Yes, I saw it.
So it's basically for the listeners, you have to run a 400 meter run and then you do as many burpees as you can until the timer hits 3 minutes.
Yep.
And then you do that for 8 rounds. So 24 minutes is the length of the workout. And I kind of just wanted to get a feel for the pacing of this, you mm-hmm. know, like, you want to find that sweet spot in terms of like how fast can I run but still be able to crank out burpees, because that's the workout. It's whoever got the most burpees. It's not who ran the 400s the fastest. It's
exactly
who got the most burpees. So I figured anything faster than 6 minute pace, which is 90 seconds per lap.
Yep.
I felt like that. Anything faster than that just wasn't going to be worth the cost, because mm-hmm. even the difference between 6 minute pace and 6:40 pace is only 10 seconds per 400.
Right.
You know, but the difference in effort between a 6 minute and a 6:40 is drastic.
Right.
So it's like, would you rather lose those 10 seconds on every 400, but be feeling like you can go to work on these burpees?
Right.
Like, is that the move? So I wanted to get a good feel for it. And I feel like I did. I was pretty happy with it. I did. I ended up, my goal at the competition is try to get like 30 reps every single time.
Yeah.
Comes out to.
Which is doable.
240 burpees, which is a fucking, a shit ton of burpees.
That's a lot of burpees.
And I didn't want to go fully to the well on this just because I'm doing it to the well here in like a week, but right. I wanted to get a feel for it. So the first two rounds I was like 132s on my 400s and I was cranking out 30 burpees on the first two. And then I kind of thought to myself, I'm like, okay, I think I can maintain this, but I don't want to go there today.
Right.
So after that, I just kind of settled in between like 26 to 28 reps the rest of the way. And I think I got I was like 219 or 220 burpees or something. And I got to be honest with you. I think this is an old school like Yancey camp workout, but I'd never done this for like max reps before.
Yeah.
This is a beast of a workout.
It sounds like it. Because it's rolling time, right? So it's the 3 minutes time. Is up and then you go right back into the run. Yeah. Right.
And most people will stop like maybe 10 seconds before the timer, the next round starts. So they'll stop at like the 250 mark and get 10 seconds to just catch their breath. I really maximize the full 3 minutes. So
yeah,
I do my last burpee with like 1 second left.
I think you have to be really smart about pacing your burpees too. Like there's a way to do burpees way too hard and then have to stop and like catch your breath. And there's a way like I've done 100 burpees unbroken many, many times. And people are like, what the fuck? And I'm like, no, it's because you don't like it's.
It's just like pace. Running.
Yeah,
it's just like
exactly.
Running.
You find it's your rhythm. It's not that crazy, like that type of burpee. It's like intentionally done in a paced way. So yeah.
My thought before even going into it was like, I'm going to run like 7 minute pace and just go ham on the burpees. Cause then I could crush myself on the burpees, heart rate be through the roof. And then I could still probably settle back into like a 7 minute mile.
Yeah.
But I think what I'll end up doing is somewhere around like 620 pace. So like 135, 400, which gives me about 80 to 85 seconds to do as many burpees as I can every round. Is going to be,
I think you're in
a
great spot. Like there's a lot of people going to GRIT Games, which is pretty cool, but a lot of the men aren't like Hyrox people or right.
No.
So I think you're in a really good spot just because we're so used to like kind of selling out and then having to go right back into the run. And I think people are going to do it wrong. Like they're going to mispace that workout for sure. If you do, you're screwed, you know,
for sure. I was thinking, I'm like, what would be considered like a good amount of reps for this workout? I think if you can get over 20,
I think for the women, if the women can get 20 around, I think that's yeah, definitely. And to when I remember seeing this workout come out, and I originally was going to go to GRIT Games. And then just kind of looking at the schedule, I was like, I really need to be smart about my travel. And just with it being like a Sunday race for the elite, it just, I don't know, wasn't working with like the real full-time job that I'm slowly diminishing my
and rallies my PTO. closer to the house.
Rally's a lot closer. But anyway, when I saw that workout, I was like, all right, I had the same thought. I was like, if I do a minute 30 on the run, I mean, you're even being more conservative. So I could have been the one who screwed it up, you know, but like 20 burpees, maybe 25, if I'm like really hustling, I don't know.
I'm going to keep it in the repertoire.
Yeah.
Like I think, or even just for like a benchmark workout or something like that.
It's probably a great way to simulate how shitty you feel coming off burpee broad jumps.
There's not one station in any hybrid event that really kind of gets worse than the last like 2 to 3 rounds of that workout.
Yeah.
Like, you are as compromised as it gets.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was,
what
that
were
was
you
my
hitting
workout.
Like the last two workouts? You said like 26 reps.
The last round I did 29.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then I had,
so
like
you
a
sent
couple,
it on the last one. A
the last
more.
One I did like, which is what part of the plan too. I wanted to be like, okay, like, I just wanted to get a feel for like the pacing and when am I really going to have to kind of sink my teeth into this thing? And when can I expect to try to do like a finishing kick kind of thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I accomplished accomplish all those things. I'm a little bit worried just about the heat situation down there.
Oh my God. I saw some of those posts about how hot it's going to be. Wow.
But everybody has to deal with the same situation. So it is what it is. And you know, that was my rebound workout from my Wednesday session. And I was pretty happy with it.
Well, that's good. Yeah. It's always good to end the week kind of on an upswing for sure.
What about you? What'd you do? What's your workout of the week?
Oh, that Thursday workout. Wild.
So all right, break it down.
Rich gave me a workout and then I kind of finagled it just because I was wanting to use this very specific gym that I was telling you guys about. My former high school just got a brand new weight room and it is like Division I college level. It is sick. So I did five rounds, 1,000 meter run right into 15 barbell thruster. No, 10 barbell thrusters at pretty heavy weight. Like I was doing 105, 15 burpees over bar. And then I did a 25 meter sled push and then no rest.
So this is AMRAP style.
Right back into the run. I was holding my run. I was using a treadmill, but I had the treadmill set at 539. And then the last one I did 536. I said the barbell weight was 105, did all of the thrusters unbroken. I'm really good at thrusters. So that's a caveat because I know like some people listening here would be like, what the fuck, you know, but the burpees were the worst part of it. I thought because you do the thrust, like you can like kind of suck wind a little bit on the thruster, but then you're like toast. So I remember like doing the bend over thing a few times before I was hopping into that first burpee over bar. And then I did, so that was done and I took like 5 minutes rest, like got my setup together. And then I did 20 box jump overs, 400 meter run, and then 15 devil's presses. And the 400 meters, I think I had the pace at like 520 to 525.
Just
so like it wasn't
one round there. Just
yeah,
to kind of
I did four rounds of that.
Oh, four rounds.
Yeah. So I didn't like crank the 400 pace. I was just trying to like steady the heart rate back out, but it was a blaster. And then doing DECA on Saturday, like I was not recovered at all. So
for sure,
it might have been a little aggressive going into a race that I was trying to like do a better time in, but we made it happen. We gritted it out.
Yeah. I like workouts like that. I mean, there's some definitely like some race specificity in there, but more it's just like kind of getting in the hurt locker and just kind of staying there.
It doesn't
matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter what movement you're doing.
Exactly. I've been loving these kind of CrossFit-y running workouts lately because I really feel like then when I did the DECA mile Saturday, I was so prepared for that high heart rate the whole time, you know, like, cause that's how I felt in that workout on Thursday. Like even on the run, like because I made the run specifically faster than like I was overextending a little bit on those runs purposefully. Like it really, I felt like that style workout actually, even though it's not so specific DECA movement, it translated very, very well. So I'm like, all right, like we're good.
That's where I try to get in Rich's head from time to time, because he's all about, you know, the progressions and like all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, sometimes you just need to go do a workout that sucks.
Yeah. And just blast it out.
And that's going to translate more than you think.
Yeah.
To the race course.
Yeah, it really does. And he's been doing a lot of these.
He has lately. Yeah.
And I did a similar style, but a different one Monday too, that I had come up with. And yeah, I don't know. It's been fun doing hybrid running compromised workouts, but that are different than the stations that we're constantly doing all year. Like I, at the end of High Rock season, I don't know how you feel, but I'm like, if I do another sandbag lunge, I will die. Like if I do more, and it's been fun too. Like I did a workout Wednesday night, just a Metcon that one Rich had posted last week with the burpee box jumps, the assault bike cals, and then the wall balls. It's great to like not just sit there and do 100 wall balls. And it's fun to do like I did 10 rounds of 20 wall balls. So it's smaller a different chunks. Cadence, right? Smaller chunks, you're still getting 200 wall balls in, but you're able to do them a little faster under higher duress, you know, heart rate than you are in a HYROX workout. Cause like we're recovering on those runs. So even coming off a run into 100 wall balls for me, especially like my heart rate is like even at that point. Like I'm not like, this was fun because it was like max heart rate from hammering the assault bike right into now I'm doing 20 wall balls. So that's, I think it's great to train different stimuluses, different paces. I think it's only going to help you because like if it's coming down to the wire in a HYROX and it's coming and it, that's been happening where, I mean, you saw it, Lauren and I are head to head in the wall balls. I mean, she was ahead of me obviously, but like, it came down to like 14 wall balls between her and I, and you guys was way closer than that. If you're able to be able to, if you've done higher cadence wall balls and then you're at the wire and that's the only way you're winning, like you're going to be in a much better spot than if you're constantly doing them very paced out, you know? Totally. So
and like,
I don't know.
Even though you're never going to come in a race situation, you're never going to come off the assault bike and right. wall balls, but right. there's not many things that feel worse than an assault bike into wall
like
balls.
The leg fatigue, your heart rate doesn't calm down. If you're doing burpee box jump overs, like your heart rate's pretty jacked from that. So you're hopping right on the assault bike. Your heart rate's probably not calming down on that if you're hammering it. And then you're going into the wall balls with a crazy high heart rate. So
totally
not normally what we, you know, are feeling when we're doing that. So yeah, that was fun too. Rich has been throwing out some cool workouts lately.
He's been stealing them from me.
Oh, okay. I'll let you all guys right. battle between who came up with the good ideas.
Well, as we wind down here, there's a few things I want to touch bases with you on.
Okay.
First, we're obviously going to have you on here many times as we go forward. But to finish up here, what are some of your goals for the rest of this season? And maybe like since we're kind of, I mean, there's going to be some DECA and HYROX crossover here, but really the next big world championship event is going to be DECA.
Yeah.
So maybe just like, what are some goals this year? And who do you think is maybe your biggest comp in DECA? I think across the board, like DECA Strong, DECA Mile, DECA Fit.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough because I think Carly Wopat has clearly shown she is an animal in the strong. So like props to her. That was a crazy time. But I don't, no offense, Carly, if you listen to this, I don't think she's gonna have.
She can't run a 17 minute 5K.
Precisely. So like in the running events, I would say in strong, I think Carly Wopat is like the girl to beat probably. Obviously Tara knows when Tara gets in her like DECA fit stage. Fitness. Like, yeah, she's like, she's also super, super gritty, super, super tough to be in that, in these events. Alondra is super sneaky. I think she's always comes in as like kind of an underdog that people like forget about or something. And then she pops off. I think she'll probably be up there. I think Lauren last year, probably, I think, just like where her daughter was at, like age wise, I think she was maybe going through some of those like early on sleeping stuff going on. And she clearly has put out work in like the second half of last year. So I think in the longer stuff, probably Lauren, Tara, myself, I would say we're probably going to be up there pushing each other. I mean, Vivian Tafuto, I think, is another girl in the shorter stuff in particular. She's just a strong girl.
She's sneaky in that shorter distance.
Yeah, I think she will be a big contender in the DECA Strong and even in the mile. Just because she's really powerful. She's a really, really powerful athlete. And like she really impressed the hell out of me at HYROX Worlds. So she's proven like she's a competitor when it matters, you know? So I think she'll be in that mix too. And I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of people. Like I know there's like Katie Duke. I've never met her, but she threw down a really, really good DECA mile time that was like, I mean, she was really challenging me in that. So she'll probably be up there. And I don't know. So that'll be cool. And it's exciting to get to compete against some different names in the, than all the Hyrox girls. So I'm looking forward to racing girls like Carly and Katie. And I know Jess Petro's done pretty well. Like I'm pumped to get to compete against some different people and like see where I'm at in some different realms of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I would love to throw down a really good deck of fit time.
Cause that's one you haven't really had an opportunity.
Haven't tried it at all. So yeah. My first one will be this Northeast one at the end of the month. So yeah, I'm looking forward to just testing myself and seeing what I can do. And the events that I think are like obviously play to my strengths with the running. So yeah, I'm trying to throw down one of the better times. And if I go to Deca Worlds, which I'm assuming I will probably, I would love to podium in all three events, you know, and we know it's hard to win all three in particular, but it's also still hard to podium in all three. So if I did, I'd be stoked, about that. So that'll be cool. And then I want to keep challenging that Hyrox time. You know, I want to keep breaking my own, like whether it's me or somebody else, I just want to keep pushing the envelope and kind of helping pave the way for like what the women's field can do. I think that's been the coolest part. Like I was watching the CrossFit Games a little and Tia Toomey was commentating on one of the events, and I'm certainly not like putting myself in that boat. Like she's clearly a much higher performer than I am right now, but it is cool to be a part of a newer sport. It's starting to grow even more and like to get to be in maybe the group of women that are like really pushing the envelope mm-hmm. when it's in its infancy still. I think that's been like a really cool thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately. Like, holy shit. Like, this is neat. Like, I'm going to be one of the people that maybe people remember as like
having you're a pioneer.
Started. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Lauren too. So yeah, I just want to keep pushing the envelope, you know, see what we can do. So, cool.
We got a little bit of an app update.
Yeah.
I don't think we can like fully say,
I know. Like, what are we
too much? Like, but we did, we had a branding call where we got, like we designed a logo. Real. We've got all of our exercise videos recorded. And I'm hoping that we're set for a launch beginning of September. We've kind of kept pushing it back, like it. But I think we've finally got our ducks in a row.
Yeah.
And dude, I'm stoked. It's going to be exciting.
It's, you know, and I really like the more I think about it, it's like, this is just so good for I just really feel like it's going to be so great for the community. It's cool. And like having workouts of the day or being like, I want to do Ryan Kent's workout today, but then tomorrow I'm going to do like a Meg workout. I think it's going to be just super awesome for people.
Yeah.
For
I mean,
people.
There'll be progression training plans too, for people who are like training for like a specific race.
Yeah.
But then there'll also be just options. If you want to hop in, just kind of like a workout of the day kind of situation.
Exactly.
So there's going to be we're going to keep dropping new things as the app goes forward. But I'm excited to just kind of like work with you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The camp's going to be sick.
Oh, yeah. I will see you in like.
Yeah. Like two weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Not even. Yeah.
Hybrid training camp going down in Lyons, Colorado.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It is. I'm excited because I don't get the opportunity often to really work out with anyone that's really pushing me, you know? So it'll be fun to like get to throw down some workouts with you guys and just like see where I stack up, you know? Like I love that. So I'm
my
pumped.
Biggest question to Luca, who's hosting this thing was, is there going to be s'mores? Are we going to have a s'mores night? Cause that's all I care about. The training, the education, all that doesn't matter. When's the dessert?
That's like half shine. Of the reason I work out so hard is just so I can eat my dessert.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, thanks awesome. For joining me, Meg. Yeah. I really appreciate it. We clearly showed today that we don't even need Rich for this podcast.
I can just be the permanent stand-in. No, I'm just kidding. Rich good luck is, at Greg Games.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Go I will say Rich is in Minnesota for Kirk DeWent's
wedding.
So congrats, Kirk.
Yes.
We love you, bro.
Very exciting for them.
Yep. Congratulations.
They seem like such a lovely couple too.
They
like
do. So they're cute.
I love seeing their pictures and stuff. Like goals. Good for them.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Later. Let's see.